Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to do something a little different. We're running a bit of a thought experiment. We're taking a huge, successful platform, Futurepedia.io. I know a lot of you use it. And we're going to tear down their business model and rebuild it using this new piece of tech called Auto Content API.
It's a really fascinating case study because you have the, Futurepedia, this, giant of AI directories, and then you have the how. This new programmable content infrastructure.
Right.
It's basically a collision between a massive data problem and a, an automated solution.
And let's just set the stage here. Futurepedia isn't some small blog. This is the directory for the AI age. We're talking, over 4,000 tools, a huge network. I think it's something like 2 million YouTube subscribers.
It's massive.
If you want to know what's happening in AI, that's your first stop.
Yeah.
So why would a giant like that need to change anything? You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Well, from the outside, it looks great. But if you really look at the mechanics of the industry, they are facing this huge problem, content saturation.
Okay, let's unpack that. Because when I browse the site, it looks full. What do you mean by saturation?
Just think about the speed of AI right now. I mean, Futurepedia has, 2,617 tools categorized?
And probably 20 more since we started talking.
Exactly. New tools pop up every single day. The problem is a directory is only useful if it's more than just a list of links. It needs reviews, comparisons, videos, updates. To do that for 4,000 tools by hand, you'd need an army.
Right. A writer for the blog, a creator for YouTube, a podcaster for, audio updates.
Precisely. And that is the bottleneck. It's what we call linear production. If you want to cover one new tool on all those platforms, you need 4, maybe 5 separate human production lines. It's slow, it's expensive, and honestly, it's impossible to scale at the speed of AI.
So the thought experiment today is, what happens if Futurepedia stops trying to hire more people and just integrates this auto content API? The sources describe it not as a tool, but as programmable content infrastructure, which, I gotta be honest, sounds a little like buzzword soup. What does that actually mean?
It means you shift from creation to transformation. Think about it this way. Futurepedia already has the data.
Okay.
They have the tool descriptions, the pricing, the categories. They don't need a human to stare at a blank page. They just need a system to take that existing data and transform it into a video, a podcast, a blog post, a tweet, all instantly.
So instead of a human writer handing a script to a human video editor, the API just takes the input, say a new listing for an AI image tool, and boom, it triggers outputs across every single format.
Yes, that's parallel production. You move the constraint from human constraint, you know, how many hours can my editor stay awake, to server constraint, how many credits can I buy? And servers, as we'll see, are a lot cheaper than people.
Okay, I get the theory, but let's get practical. Futurepedia is a directory, and we all know the dirty secret of directories is SEO. A lot of these pages are what Google calls thin content. You click a link, it's a title, one sentence, and a visit website button. It's boring.
And Google hates boring. Google rewards dwell time, how long a user actually stays on your page. If I land on a Futurepedia page and it's just a link, I'm gone in 10 seconds. That tells Google the page is low quality.
But if there's a video, I might stick around for a minute.
Exactly. But making a video for 4,000 tools, that's the impossible part you mentioned. Even at an hour each, that's, years of work.
So you automate it.
You automate it. This is where the API gets really interesting for a site like this. The sources point to a specific endpoint, Video Create Shorts. So Futurepedia could basically crawl every single one of their 4,000 tool pages and just automatically generate a 60 to 90 second explainer video for each one.
Hold on, though. Let's be realistic. Okay. We've all seen AI video. A lot of it is. It's janky. It's weird slideshows with robotic voices.
Yeah.
If they flood their site with 4,000 pieces of junk, isn't that just hurting their brand?
That's a valid fear, but the tech has moved so fast. We're not talking about some hallucinated creative film here. We're talking about structured explainer videos. The API pulls the factual data, what the tool does, who it's for, the price, and it visualizes it. It's utility content. It doesn't need to win an Oscar. It just needs to answer the user's question fast.
So it's about density of information, not cinematic flair.
Precisely. And the data shows pages with video are something like 53 times more likely to rank on page one of Google. It's an SEO nuclear option. Even if the video is just good enough, the ranking benefit is just massive.
And I'm guessing this isn't just for the website. When I think video now, I think vertical, TikTok, Shorts, Reels.
That's the other half of the strategy, the faceless channel. The API can generate those vertical 9.16 videos, complete with AI avatars that lip sync the script.
The faceless channel thing is huge, but there's usually still a human editor behind it.
Right, and that human costs money. The source material points out this huge cost arbitrage. Producing a good short manually costs anywhere from, what, $50 to $300?
Oh, easily $300 if you want decent motion graphics.
Yes.
With the Auto Content API, the cost is roughly 400 credits. On their business plan, that works out to about €4.
€4 versus $300. That is, that's a legitimate disruption.
It completely changes the risk. At $300, you have to be sure that video will perform. At €4, you can do what they call creative testing at scale. Futurepedia could generate 1,000 shorts, throw them all on YouTube, see which 10 go viral, and then just double down on those topics. You can't do that with human labor costs.
That makes perfect sense. It's the shotgun versus the sniper rifle. Okay, let's pivot. Let's talk audio. Futurepedia has a newsletter, a blog, but it feels like everyone is trying to get into audio. We're seeing tools like Google's Notebook LM blowing up. You pull out a PDF, it makes a podcast. Why not just use that?
Notebook LM is incredible tech, don't get me wrong. But it's a consumer tool. You have to manually drag and drop files. There's no ATI.
So you can't hook it up to a database of 4,000 items and just hit go.
Exactly. Auto Content API is positioning itself as the enterprise alternative to that.
So what does that actually look like for me, the user? I'm on Futurepedia reading a review. What changes?
Imagine a listen to this review button, but instead of some boring text-to-speech robot, it generates a conversational podcast. Two AI agents discussing the tool using what they call multi-speaker dynamics.
Sort of like what we're doing right now.
Ideally, yeah. The back and forth keeps you engaged way longer than a monologue. But there's a feature here that I think solves a really specific problem for the founders. It's called the CEO paradox.
The CEO paradox. Sounds ominous. What is it?
It's the conflict between personal branding and time. Your audience wants to hear from the leaders, right? The editors, the founders. They trust that human voice. But the founders are busy running a massive company.
They can't spend 4 hours a day in a recording booth.
No. So they either don't do it or they burn out. This is where voice cloning comes in. The API allows for this. So the Futurepedia editor records a few minutes of audio one time, just once, to train the model.
And after that?
After that, the API can generate daily market thoughts or tool of the day updates narrated in the editor's voice without them ever stepping up to a mic again.
Okay, I have to play skeptic again here. Isn't that a little creepy? As a listener, wouldn't I feel a bit cheated if I found out the host was just a clone reading a script from a server?
It's a fine line, I agree. If they try to trick you, yes, it will backfire. But if they're transparent, if they frame it as, here's your daily AI briefing narrated by my AI voice, people tend to accept it. It comes back to utility.
Right.
Do you want the information in the founder's familiar style, or do you want silence because the founder's too busy?
That's a fair point. If the content is good, I probably care less about the biological origin of the voice.
And the headless nature of the API makes this really powerful. It handles all the distribution. It doesn't just create the MP3. It pushes it to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music. It updates the RSS feed. It turns Futurepedia into a full-blown podcast network on autopilot.
A headless media company? I like that. The content can go anywhere without a body attached to it. But what about speed? In the AI world, news moves terrifyingly fast. A new model drops at 2 a.m. By 9 a.m., it's old news. Can an API really keep up?
This is where we get into the newsroom idea. The API has integrations for social listening, specifically X, formerly Twitter, and Reddit.
So it's just listening to the chatter.
It's monitoring for spikes. So let's say it's midnight and OpenAI suddenly drops Sora 2.0. Twitter just explodes. The API detects that spike in sentiment and keywords. That's the trigger.
Okay, so the system sees the fire. Does it just hallucinate a story based on a bunch of tweets?
Yeah.
Because that sounds really dangerous.
No, and that's the key distinction. It triggers the deep research endpoint. Agents browse the live web, they go to the OpenAI blog, read the white paper, check the developer docs, they figure out what actually happened.
So it does the journalism part, the fact-checking.
It does the research part, then it synthesizes all that into a script and generates a breaking news video short or an audio brief.
And this all happens.
Yeah.
How fast?
Yeah. In minutes. While human journalists are still waking up and brewing coffee, Futurepedia has already published a 60-second breakdown of Sora 2.0 on every platform. That's newsjacking.
And that speed creates authority. If you're always the first to explain why something is a big deal, you win the audience.
You win them, and you win them globally. This is the next huge opportunity that I think most businesses are missing, localization.
Right. Futurepedia is very English-centric, but AI is global.
Most of the internet is English-centric, but the Auto Content API supports over 50 languages.
So practically, what does that look like? Are they just slapping subtitles on everything?
No, that's the old way. The strategy here is full synthesis. Futurepedia sets up a workflow. A new tool review gets published in English. The API instantly transcribes it, translates the core meaning, and then resynthesizes it into Spanish, German, Japanese, Hindi.
So you have a German AI host explaining the tool to the German market.
Native audio, native text. You're not just translating words. You're making the content culturally available. You've just multiplied your total addressable market by 5x overnight, and you didn't have to hire a bureau in Berlin or Tokyo.
That is just wild.
Yeah.
But I want to circle back to something you said earlier. You called it the agentic web. It sounds like something out of a sci-fi novel.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for a business like Futurepedia?
It's the future of search. We are moving away from humans typing keywords into a box. We're moving toward AI agents like ChatGPT Search, Google's SGE, that read content for us to answer questions.
So robots reading for other robots.
In a way, yeah. But here's the catch. Robots like structure. They don't want to parse fluffy paragraphs to find the price of a tool. They want data. And Auto Content API outputs content in structured formats like JSON or FAQs.
Can you explain that simply? Why does JSON matter?
Think of it like a nutritional label on a box of cereal. You don't read a story about the ingredients. You look at the structured table on the side. That's what JSON is for an AI. It tells the search agent exactly what the ingredients of your content are. Price, features, rating, without it having to guess.
So if I ask ChatGPT, what's the best AI tool for legal research? It's more likely to pull from Futurepedia because they have that nutritional label clearly displayed.
Exactly. It positions them as the source of truth. If your content isn't machine readable like this in the next 5 years, you could effectively become invisible to the new way people search.
That is a terrifying thought.
Yeah.
Invisible to the agents.
Yeah.
Okay, let's ground this in cold hard cash. We talked about the 4 euro video, but what are the broader economics? Because businesses run on margins.
Yeah, the cost analysis in the source material is pretty stark. A manually produced podcast episode can cost anywhere from $150 to maybe $500 when you factor in editing, hosting, human time. With the API, it costs between 10 and 200 credits.
Which translates to?
Cents. Maybe up to 2 euros for a really long, complex episode. But usually, cents.
That's a 99% cost reduction.
Mm.
But does cheap content actually equal profit?
It does if you understand the long tail. And this is the most strategic point of this whole deep dive.
Okay, lay it on me. The long tail.
Imagine a tool called Dave's Niche Spreadsheet AI. Maybe 50 people a month search for it. If you have to pay a human writer $200 to review it, you will never make that money back in ad revenue, so you ignore it.
Right. You only review the big stuff, Midjourney, ChatGPT, where all the traffic is.
Exactly. But if that review only costs you 10 cents to produce with the API, suddenly Dave's Spreadsheet AI is profitable. You can cover the entire long tail. You can have a detailed guide for every single microtool in the industry.
And because you're the only one covering those tiny tools, you capture 100% of that traffic.
That's it. It's a scorched earth SEO strategy. You deny your competitors any entry point because you've physically covered every square inch of the map. No human-powered competitor can afford to dislodge you. The economics just don't make sense for them.
That's the strategic moat. It's not just about saving money. It's about making it impossible for anyone else to compete on volume.
And the model scales. The sources mention a business plan at 108 euro a month for 10,000 credits. That's enough to run a daily podcast, generate hundreds of articles, and create videos. All for less than one freelancer's day rate.
It makes the uneconomical economical.
And it's elastic. If you have a huge launch month, you buy more credits. If it's a quiet month, you don't. You're not hiring and firing staff. You just dial the server capacity up or down.
So let's try to summarize this. We take Futurepedia, we plug in this API, and suddenly every one of their 4,000 tools has a video. Every article has a podcast. They have a breaking news desk that beats major outlets to the punch. They're publishing in 50 languages, and they're doing it all for a monthly fee that costs less than a nice dinner for two.
That is the vision. It transforms Futurepedia from a passive directory into a ubiquitous, proactive media entity.
It's about mental availability, isn't it? Just being everywhere.
Yes. The goal is to be at every touch point. When your user is commuting, you're in their ear. When they're on their lunch break, you're on their shorts feed. When they're searching at work, you're the top result. You surround the user.
And crucially, you do it without burning out your actual human team.
That's the most important part. The humans get to focus on strategy, on big partnerships, on the creative direction, the things machines still struggle with. The API just handles the grunt work.
It really forces you to rethink what a content business even is. It feels like we are crossing some kind of threshold here.
We are, and that raises a provocative question for everyone listening, whether you run a directory like Futurepedia or just a small niche blog.
What's the question?
In a world where content can be generated programmatically at infinite scale, the competitive advantage is no longer making the content. Everyone can make content now. The advantage is designing the system that makes it. So the question is your business building a team or is it building an engine?
Building a team versus building an engine. That is a massive thought to leave us with. I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot more engines in the next few years. Thanks for diving deep with us today on this Futurepedia thought experiment.
A pleasure to be here.
And thank you for listening. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.